You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
I made them extra sloppy for you. I know how you kids like them sloppy.
Lady, you're scaring us.
Grill, grill, grill. Kill, kill, kill. Make a scene. Knock off a dean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bump off a sweat, that's what it's about. Hate it then.
Max, quick! I'm weakening! The light hills!
I only have one left, 99.
We'll break it in half, Max!
Right.
We're just doing good times.
Hey, everybody! Episode 99, mother sucker,
of Nowhere in Mulberry. Welcome
like
to the show.
Clip of 30 Rock.
Yeah. Episode 99, Bill. We're almost there. We are live on Talk Radio X every Friday, and we're back. And Steven's not here, Bill. What the hell?
Well, you know, you almost wasn't there last week, so it's only right that he's not there this week.
It's like he'll be later and later every week. I'm thinking next week he'll be back around the DVD segment. Maybe just in time to sing the DVD song, I'm hoping.
We're going to have to get a recording of it.
Yeah, I need to finally make a recording of it. But no, he just flew in like literally 2 hours ago.
And boy, are his arms tired.
Yes. Good times, Bill. But you know what that means is, are we going to get Sleepy Steven on the show?
You know it.
Wow.
Nothing better than loud breathing, snorting Sleepy Steven.
Yeah, exactly. No, that can't be true, will it? No,
he's just resting his eyes.
Yeah, you know what was funny is I was re-listening to, I'm going to remaster our two mashup shows, episode 17 and episode 50, and I was listening to that moment when Steven fell asleep on the show, and it's great because I go, Steven, are you asleep? Steven, and you hear him go, and I go, Steven, and he goes, huh? And I go, Steven, you fell asleep, he goes, No, I didn't. I just zoned out here for a second watching TV. And it's like, what? Yeah. He can't even admit that he fell asleep.
No, why can't you say, you know what, I'm really sorry, I'm really tired, I've had a long day. Yeah. You know, I just don't understand that, why people automatically go, no, I'm not sleeping, I'm resting my eyes.
Yeah, you know, my sister Vanessa does the same out. Thing. Whenever you call her and she, oh, hello, are you sleeping? No. It's like, why do you sound like a zombie?
Oh, I know, maybe sometimes they're... Is it like an embarrassment, or you're just trying to be kind? It's...
I don't know.
It's kind of a crazy dimension there.
What?
Exactly. But I'm sure he'll be here any moment. And that's Steven calling you right now, Bill.
It is. Hello, Steven?
Steven, hey, you're supposed to be on the show right now. What's going on here?
He keeps calling back. I don't understand.
No, I'm sure he'll be here any minute. Yes. Oh, what? Foggy, hello. Are you there? Foggy's here. Barely. Now, Bill, it is a special day today. No, not episode 100. That's next week. But it is, it's a special day because a milestone has come. What do you think that is?
You've passed your first kidney stone?
Yes, that happened earlier in the lavatory. I went to an annual dinner today at, I only eat at this restaurant on my birthday. Because I love it, but if you eat there all the time, it's not great anymore. Am I right?
Don Pablo's.
No, God, I hate Don Pablo's. Oh. I ate at Campo Verde. Campo Verde. It's the most weird decor ever. It's got Christmas lights. It's got a train, like a little miniature train that goes all the way around the restaurant.
No way.
Yeah, it almost.
Can you ride it?
No.
But my like daughter training silver spoons.
My daughter gets a kick out of it, but it looks like it's decorated for Christmas all year round almost.
Hey, you know what? Christmas should be every day.
The music is like oldies, it sounds like, but all the decor besides the Christmas stuff is like Native American stuff.
Wow, are they confused?
Yeah, and I can just picture tonight as I was sitting there, Gordon Ramsay going, "Oh, God, bloody hell," like as he's walking in the restaurant.
Well, like, yeah, we wouldn't know because of the freaking World Series.
Yeah, no kidding.
Keep my ass, World Series.
But I was waiting for my wife. My wife and I rode there separately because she was coming straight from work, and the waiter was like, "Hey, buddy, eating alone tonight? Oh, I see there's another place here. Do you happen to know what this person would like to order?" And I said, "Yeah." And so I ordered her drink, and he goes, "Hey, I hope she's worth it, buddy. Is she pretty?" And I was like, "What the hell?" And I go, "She's my wife. Yes, she's pretty." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And later on, he walks by. He's helping somebody, and I'm still sitting there alone. And he goes, "Hey, it's the first married guy I ever seen stood up by his wife." And I'm like, "Yeah." Just every time every time he came to walk by, I was like, "Here we go." And I was like, he was like, "What would you like?" And every year I have the number 10. It's the combination burrito. And he goes, "All right there, burrito Jimmy." And I'm like, "What?
What the hell?" I think he's either high or drunk.
So he called me Burrito Jimmy.
Burrito Jimmy. Well, maybe that should be your new name.
And even when my wife showed up, I believe he called me Burrito Jimmy again. "Hey, here's your food, Burrito Jimmy." And it's just like,
maybe you could be Burrito Jimmy and I'd be the Mad Dog.
It's like, dude, what is your freaking problem?
Did he ask you if you wanted any pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or
shrimp fajitas? No. Oh, God. It basically was that guy. You know, he actually reminded me of Greg Grunberg in a way.
Wow.
Kind of that same.
Maybe it was him.
Yeah. No, basically, I turned 36 today, Bill.
It's wow.
Very shocking, yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you,
Happy
Foggy.
Happy birthday to
so
you.
Much.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. That's so pathetic, though. You got to sing along, or I feel a little
Happy
pathetic.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, thank you, Bill. It means a lot.
Did the entire restaurant come out and start going, "Happy, happy, 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 happy birthday"?
You know what? That's what's cool. It's one of those laid-back restaurants where they don't do that unless you request it. Oh, my God, everybody. A special guest has just walked in the door. Who could it be? Who could it be? Still waiting on him. Who could it be? Who could it be now? It's Steven, the pop culture episode. How you doing, Steven?
Oh, I'm tired.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it, buddy.
Straight from the airport.
No, I don't think that was a joke, Foggy.
And boy, are his arms tired. But I'm pumped.
I just flew in from...
Albuquerque?
Phoenix.
Ah, close enough.
Salt Lake, Furnace. Phoenix.
There wasn't here. No Utah this week, huh?
No, from Salt Lake to Phoenix and Phoenix to here.
Oh,
they can find the longest route we can get.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you made it, Steven. I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad to be here.
You can't miss the show. You know what? I do believe next week on our 100th episode, we will have one of our original founding Mulberries on the show, and that would be Vanessa.
Oh, we will.
For episode 100. Very special occasion.
There has been a contact made.
There's been a rift in the space-time continuum. And so perhaps Vanessa will be back. So we'll see what happens there.
We're going to have to close that rift as soon as possible. It might cause, you know, serious problems.
Yeah, serious problems. Great Scott, as they say. Now, I was watching Maury, and have you guys seen this where they have the phobia episodes?
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Now, I watched Jimmy Kimmel, and he showed a clip of this. Then I looked, of course, you look on YouTube, and you find it instantly. Type in phobia Maury, and you find it. And there's this lady who is afraid of chickens. And what do they do?
Chickens?
Yeah, what do they do is they get two grown men in chicken outfits. And listen to Maury. He's like, are you afraid of chickens? Yes, she's terrified. And he goes, do you believe that raw chickens can come back to life? Yes. You have nightmares about 8-foot chickens or whatever.
Zombie chickens?
Yeah. Then all of a sudden they show these two chickens come out, and they come out with their fingers like going ooh like that. And the lady freaks. But here's what they do, what Maury did that's genius. He covered all the exits where she would try to run with people holding chickens. So wherever she runs, she's like, and she runs back, and there's another person holding a chicken. So it's like her worst nightmare. It's great. Check it out. Unfortunately, the lady didn't handle it too well, you know. Let's handle your phobia, Steven, by just sealing off all the exits and
with everything you're afraid of.
We're going to strap you down to this bed. And
we're going to cause you to have a heart attack.
Check this out.
You have nightmares, don't you? What's your nightmare?
There's a big, giant chicken.
6 foot.
He's chasing me.
She's crying.
Do you believe that a raw chicken can come alive?
Yes.
You want to face your worst fear? Stay in your seat now.
Are you afraid of rubber chickens?
Here come the chicken men.
Oh my God.
Good times. Oh, Jesus Christ! But Maury didn't know she had a gun in her purse, so...
Who did she shoot? The chickens?
The guys dressed up as chickens are now dead. We're not real chickens! Oh,
Maury
God.
The Chicken Day Massacre will go down in history.
But she still... It doesn't matter if she shoots them. She believes they can come back.
Yeah, I know. It would have been funny. It's like, do you believe if you remove a chicken's head, he stays alive for a while and runs around? And she's like, yes! And they're like, what a nut job! Whack job!
Did she see that Cluckies?
I gotta go before the oxygen leaves my brain. But before we get to entertainment, last week we talked about Ellen and the dog incident, Iggy Gate.
Iggy.
But this week there's a Waffle House Gate, for lack of cleverness. Bill, do you remember Kid Rock was in a Waffle House and a fight ensued? Here, Kid Rock explains what happened exactly.
Tell us what happened at the Waffle House.
Oh,
come
man.
On, we want to know.
Oh, I don't want to tell this story.
We were celebrating. We had a great show that night. We were hungry. It was late at night. We'd been doing some drinking, and we went. And I actually walked in. I know the people
did
work
some
hard
drinking. Really?
People behind
nobody
the car,
goes to the Waffle House sober.
Bought everyone breakfast in there. We're having a good time, and just one kid just started. And at one point, I was like, you know, hey, it's cool. I'm going to buy your breakfast. Don't worry about it, you know. And then one thing led to another, and windows were broken, and, you know. cussing and fussing in the mud, the butt.
That's a hell of a fight, isn't it?
Now, do you think people sometimes just look for trouble with you because they just think, you know, I want to mess with him, and it's, what, it's 5 a.m., that guy.
Honestly, the kid even said before the whole thing, he said, I hope you hit me. I'll sue the hell out of you. And I'm like, take a number.
Yeah, all right.
He's a class act all the way, isn't he?
Yeah, the lesbians and house yuntas love kissed Kid Rock.
I just love he's like, we drank a little. But when you say there's a little scuffle, but glass was broken, like the front of window of the Waffle House.
Come out a window.
Does he mean like drinking glasses, or does he mean like a giant pane of window? But you know what's shocking is I just heard that another Lost cast member has been arrested for a DUI. And I was thinking, oh, it's God, who could it be? And it was the least likely person I would have thought. It's Jin. Apparently he had too much
sake?
Jin?
Yeah, too much gin.
Too much beef
eater?
Wow,
that was bad. Steven, I'm glad you didn't go there, but Bill did. He had to. But technically, I kind of fished you in, reeled you in, Bill.
Jin is Korean. They drink goji.
Sake? Exactly, Bill. Also, I read disturbing news, and I hope this isn't true, Steven. Like, when did you think Battlestar Galactica was going to start up again?
In November.
No, it was January, I believe.
I was thinking I heard, I don't know.
December, January. November? But now they're saying...
What are you asking him questions for, really?
I don't know nothing.
Now they're saying April. We got to wait till April.
And is that because of her having to do the Bionic Woman?
No, that doesn't interfere with it. It's Sci-Fi Channel effing with us. Like, the final season is 20 episodes, right? And I've heard rumors that instead of showing all 20 episodes, they're thinking of showing 10 and then waiting until 2009 to show the second 10. Basically break it off into two seasons. That way they keep...
I will not watch
Battlestar. I know.
They
but
don't want to give up a good thing.
I'm serious though, Steven. That's what they're going to do. That's what the rumor is. Hopefully it's wrong.
Why don't they just continue? Why do they have to end it after three seasons?
Because they don't want to do it anymore, would you?
I think that's all the story they have to tell, is what Ronald D. Moore says.
I think they've run out of story.
Yeah, well, he said they had a set book, the Bible of BSG, and that was the story they wanted to tell, and that's the end. It's kind of like Lost. Lost did the same thing. They announced when they're going to end by this year. That's when their story is told. And I think that's what Heroes needs to do, too. And I don't think Smallville ever will. We'll just keep going. It's like, God, he's in his 40s. He's still not Superman.
He's still Clark Kent.
He still can't fly.
He's still wearing the same jacket.
And he still pines for irritating women.
And they teased us this week, Bill, but he wasn't flying. But we'll get to that later.
He was falling gracefully.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. Ah, yes, entertainment. The B-movie's not out yet, right? It comes out next week. I'm going to take my daughter to see that. She's really excited. The Jerry Seinfeld, what is the deal with that,
I
Bill?
I am so sick and tired of him and those NBC short things.
They showed
a lot
of
them. It's like they make absolutely no sense. They're irritating. The movie's going to suck.
How dare you? What? You hope the bee dies? My daughter could be listening right now, Bill. Now, the new movie that came out, Steve Carell's movie, Dan in Real Life, does anyone know what the hell this movie's about?
No.
A man having a midlife crisis played by Steve Carell, who plays himself as Steve Carell.
Is it about Radio Dan's life on the radio? What is it?
Just looks like the same old Steve Carell crap.
Well, here's the thing that would make you even happier, though, Bill. Dane Cook is in it.
Okay, I'm not seeing it for sure.
Genius move.
Death to Dane Cook.
No, seriously, how did he make the transition? I guess I didn't know who he
was
for a long time.
Most comedians do that, though. They go from...
It seemed like really fast, though, didn't it, for him?
Probably because he was real hot on the college... You know, and they're
Bill, didn't you say something like he has some stupid stat like most friends on MySpace or something?
Yeah, he's like the internet comedian or something. And you know what? I'm not surprised he has a lot of friends on MySpace because, quite frankly, MySpace is questionable.
Your space is questionable?
Well, yeah, mine too, but the entire site
gay,
of MySpace.
Good.
Exactly. Now, is Darjeeling Limited opening wide this week, I guess?
It's wide? I thought it was still in limited, but if it's wide, I might try to go see it.
What do you think, Steven? You want to check that out?
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I want to see Owen Wilson slice his wrists open. Is that in that?
No, I don't believe that. Shit. Wow, disturbing.
I'll pass.
Hey, man!
Now, the new Ridley Scott comes out next week, I believe, Bill, with Russell Crowe and my man Denzel. Yeah.
I already watched it in the comfort of my own home.
Bad, Bill. Boo, Bill.
Hey, I can't help that I'm a member of the Academy.
Oh, I see. So what do you think? Nominations?
Pretty damn good.
How's Denzel?
God almighty!
All right!
I know might.
Sounds good to me, man. What do you say, since we got nothing, obviously, in this segment? We haven't lately. No movies have come out we really want to see, but I can't wait to see that. But we'll talk more about it next week. And by the way, this is the birthday show, so we will be taking calls if anyone wants to call in. What do you guys say? Remember I said it's a looser show this week? And even though it's structured still, it's still looser.
Yeah, it was loose because I came in late.
Yeah. And Steven took the looseness a little too literally. I'll just show up an hour into the show if it's going to be
loose. We're just happy you didn't show up drunk.
By the way, Steven, your plane that came in late, you didn't mention that you were piloting the plane.
There were snakes on the plane.
Mother effing snakes on the plane.
Did you guys see the preview to the next season of 24?
Good Lord. The next season of 24? No, they already have preview of it?
Yeah, they posted a teaser online, and it looks like someone Jack knows is the villain this year.
Nice. I can't wait. I think I already know who it is.
Returned from the dead.
Wait, doesn't he know everybody who's a villain every year? Like last year it was his dad.
It looks like they're taking out all the stops and going completely batshit insane.
This week, his uncle this year. Wow. I just hope it's this is all we want from 24. I don't know what they were thinking last year. We just want more entertainment. Like, the great part was Brady last season. Remember, I had Maki. Jack Bauer's at the door, you know, the semi-mentally retarded.
Very good with computers.
Yeah.
I bought my underwear at Kmart.
I had mainframe Charlie Babbitt. And it's like, yeah, okay, dude. But we need more of that. I'm hoping Brady is back and he works at CTU next season.
I think Brady's the villain this year.
Brady, Jack Bauer, you shouldn't have let me go.
Like, oh, my God. Evil genius.
He's smuggling arms to Iran. Damn you, retarded Brady. Let's go ahead.
He created a retarded virus.
Retarded virus. Everyone would be like me now. No! Chloe! She's retarded. This is just wrong, Steven. I can't believe you brought the show there. It's just wrong.
Usually it is me that brings it there.
It's the mongoloid virus.
Yeah, Bill just had to take it a step further. Do you guys remember we were talking about Josh Blue a long time ago on Last Comic Standing and... Steven said he could date that Jerry from Fresh Life. And we just wouldn't forgive him for going there like, wow, Steven, wow. Do you remember that?
There was a,
we got to put that in the clip show, man.
On like TMZ like a week or two ago.
Who, Jerry?
Yeah, the original, you know, cerebral palsy Facts of Life girl, comedian. Jerry.
What was she doing?
Still doing the same thing.
Don't wash the Tootie's clothes.
Washing Tootie's clothes. She was fantastic on Deadwood. I missed
Deadwood
so much. She was so great on there. But let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVos. What do you say, Steven?
Let's do it.
There's nothing on my TiVo. I don't know what's wrong with it. It keeps deleting shows. What the hell? Now, what's funny is we kept talking about Utah and Mormons, you know, because you were in Utah. A couple of weeks in a row, but...
3 months in a row.
On House, he has new assistants now, new doctors, and one of them is a black Mormon.
Oh, my God, no.
I'm serious. And what was great is House won't leave him alone about it. In this scene, he picks on him way too much, and finally the dude loses it on Dr. House. Let's check it out.
Question is, what would Joseph Smith do?
This isn't the time for answering.
Casting out the demons?
The patient's not possessed. She's dying. You can mock me tomorrow.
You believe that the book has all the answers.
It's a morality, not science.
But the book is inconsistent with science. You know how many epileptics were tortured because they were possessed? How many teenage witches were stoned to death because they took mushrooms?
Just shut up already. We got a patient dying.
You either got to prescribe an exorcism or admit to me that Smith was a horny fraud.
Awesome. So we wondered if there were black Mormons. Apparently there are.
Maybe there he was are, wearing his magic like underwear.
It's definitely a conflicting thing because black Mormons are evil.
They
black
are?
Black people. Yes, they're
Bill,
evil.
What do you, you have to expand on this because people listening right now are like, what the hell's his problem? What's wrong with him?
Well, in the original Mormon, you know, Joseph Smith's made up bullshit scripture, it says that black people are the people from heaven who did not took a neutral stance in the battle in heaven, so they were born black.
So they were basically the Swiss in heaven.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they're like, hey, these people are, you know. They were cursed to be born black because they were too pacifist in heaven.
What would Joseph Smith do?
So basically, if you're a black Mormon, you're guilt-ridden?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that sucks. But what's great on... I don't know if you guys have been watching Survivor China. Steven, I know you
guys have.
I know.
There was some butt action. Let's check it out.
Oh, there we go. We got some butt action happening.
So apparently there's a large black man taking a shower in front of everybody.
Yes, there we go.
James has such a nice butt. He was just in the shower, lathering up, he's stripping down.
Marching band in the background?
And none of us cared. He has a nice butt, and we just might as well show it off.
Why y'all messing with me?
Nice. Is that a good show, Bill, this year?
What would Joseph Smith do?
Wish I knew what he would do.
I don't think Joseph Smith would take a shower in front
of
everybody.
I think he would take a hat and
my
some
favorite,
rocks.
There's a guy in...
He would take a shower in his Mormon underwear.
What I love about that, Bill, when the guy is taking a shower naked, this other dude goes, oh, why are you tempting me like that? Or something. Why are you doing this to me? It's hilarious. And the guy's just taking a shower. He's like, why are you guys picking on me, man?
I'm just alone. Trying to shower here.
Gee. Was the woman I had pegged for... A total dyke was the one who's like, oh, look at the butt action.
She probably is, but she's still, you know, if you see a butt, you got to laugh, right?
God almighty!
Exactly. Now, I noticed on Dancing with the Stars, we had the exciting news this week, Stephen. I don't know if you knew this, but speaking of Mormons, Marie Osmond fainted on the show. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah.
It was very... It turned out that she fainted because she was worried about the fires in California, is what I read. She had it on
her... I fainted because of that this week, too.
She was, it was weighing on her mind, and she's like...
It had nothing to do with the fact that she was so corseted up in that thing that she couldn't breathe.
And she's like, yeah, and she's completely out of breath. Why later on would you say, well, I was just worried about fires?
Like, I think she was trying to say that it was affecting her allergies.
Does she live in Utah, by the way? I guess she's staying in California.
I would assume,
for Dancing with
yeah,
the Stars.
That they still...
But you know what's...
A family compound there?
Yeah, a compound.
I just see that as a compound, you know.
It's totally
the Osmond compound.
People who aren't like, part of it call it a compound, but people
like
who live there call it
with
what?
Its own
a
life.
Commune or
a commune or something. Or a plantation, I don't know.
Yeah, full garden, black Mormons tending to the...
black Mormons! But what's uncomfortable about Dancing with the Stars is they'll have musical guests at times, Bill.
Oh, my God,
I know.
It's all so painful. Well, you know what? On Tuesday nights, it's the result show. And to fill out an entire hour, they've got to put all these stupid little asinine packages and then have somebody come on and sing or perform, and they just drag it out for an hour. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Well, this week they had J-Lo on the show, and listen to the song, and listen when she kicks in and singing. She sounds way off key and just horrible.
Yeah.
It sucks ass, if my may
you may say that.
Reveal my true feelings. Oh my god.
That actual music.
You know what? I think she's off key because she's just keeps thinking about those fires in California.
Yeah, she's thinking about the fires. But I love she's got a team of dancers. They're all dancing. What the hell are they saying in that song? I think you just shocked me to my senses.
Yeah, everything and you're
you do
doing
just
it.
Feels just do, right.
I do, know what you're do thinking. You can do it all right.
Absolutely.
God almighty!
Awesome.
That Alec Baldwin clip will never get old.
Well, also, we love Real World Sydney. Every time I have a clip of this show, the only reason I do is because it's people fighting. It's always drunk-ass people fighting. Let's check it out.
Idiots, alcohol, equals TV.
What you do to me, Parisa?
What did I... Okay.
Who empties out the trash, Parisa?
I
on a daily basis.
Seven.
Walks around the
disgusting
house, Parisa, picks up
keep
other
going.
People.
Keep going. Keep going.
Me.
What? Give
me
yourself a heart attack. Give yourself a heart attack. I hope you dropped it, you piece of...
Parisa and Dunbar comes off looking like they're arguing about dumb stuff, but they're really arguing about deeper stuff, sexual tension.
You're a drunk-ass, stupid slut.
Jesus Christ!
Oh!
So it was a good episode.
She didn't like being called a slut.
A drunk-ass, stupid slut.
Man, that's good TV.
Could anyone tell what the hell was going on in that clip? It was just bleep, bleep, bleep.
All I heard was beep, beep, beep.
All I pick
suck.
Up the trash that you leave, blah, bleep, bleep.
You know what's funny? That clip is Alyssa Milano from My Name is Earl, and I just thought it was funny. The show is painfully unfunny, by the way. I used to love
Earl.
Oh,
yeah, it's so bad now.
I sat there with like this watching that episode, Steven. Arms crossed, staring ahead, waiting to laugh. Yeah. Nothing happened. But in this scene...
I watched the episode a few weeks ago where... what's her name? Crap.
Presley.
Randy and gets a job at the jail that
right
Earl is in now for some reason, and it's just bad.
Well, in this scene, Alyssa Milano was talking about her life of crime when she was dating a criminal played by Michael Rapaport, and he said, "We're gonna play it cool. We're gonna go in. I'm gonna say, give us your money." So they go in. He goes, "Everybody freeze! This is a robbery!" And immediately she's like, just start shooting. And I thought that I got a chuckle out of that. So there you go.
That was the funniest part of it.
Yeah.
Was her name Honey Bunny?
Yeah. But seriously, though, I used to love Earl. Season 1?
Season 1 was awesome.
I don't know
what
happened.
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious.
I think what it is, because there was an episode a couple of weeks ago that I thought was funny, where Earl was trying to get these two inmates back together. They were obviously boyfriend and... You know, one of the guys was
the gang
bitch.
Leaders.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. But episodes like this, it really seems to me like they're trying way too hard, especially the Joy stuff. I can't believe Jamie Presley won an Emmy for this show. She is so horrible on the show. And I'm not talking about her
character. She won an Emmy because she plays herself.
Yeah, she acts the same, but her character always has to say, "Oh, snap," or whatever, and just be tacky. Mm-hmm. But wasn't funny. Whatever. Moving on.
Think it's Mormons.
Steven, did you see this week's on NBC Phenomenon?
No.
With Uri Geller and Chris Angel.
Oh, jeez, no.
I
completely forgot about that.
They show Chris Angel walking in the desert, and he's got his shirt wide open where you see his pecs, but then they cut to another,
his abs?
Both. Both. He's got this huge-ass Elmer Fudd-looking trucker cap on, and I have no idea why, but Uri Geller...
Because he's hunting wabbits.
Uri Geller, not only has he bent a spoon with his mind, he's also making it float in midair. Oh, my God! How is he doing
so
that?
He's so powerful.
Yeah. Wow.
I can't believe they're still trying to fall for this melting spoon nonsense.
Yeah, I can bend a spoon
to
make
it
levitate.
There is no spoon.
Yes, exactly. But what the show is really about is...
A waste of time.
It's finding the next mentalist, which I've never heard the term before this show.
Oh, yeah.
Which means pack magician.
The next illusionist, magician. And I saw this clip here, and it's a guy doing a bit with nail guns, compressed nail guns, like we used to work with,
yeah.
Steven. He picks them up, and he sticks them to the temple, and he pulls a trigger. And what he is this lady is sitting over here.
Shoots out his nose and
she's thinking of the number that she knows that the nails are in. And she's trying to tell him telepathically as he's holding him up to his head and pulling the trigger. Oh, my God, please let her be thinking the right number so he doesn't blow his brains out. Let's check it out. This is just incredible. It's incredible audio.
Carmen, we're left with guns 4, 5, and 6. Would you count 4, 5, and 6, please?
4, 5, 6.
Wow, she's good.
We're left with guns 5 and 4. Would you say the numbers 5 and 4?
Oh my God.
5, 4.
And one more time?
5, 4.
One more time?
5, 4.
Oh, Jesus Christ! So it was really
God!
Fortunately, he blew his brains out all over the audience, but they had the trash bags like, what's his face?
Gallagher. Shit.
Gallagher? The Squish-O-Matic. What is it called?
Sledge-O-Matic.
I always say...
I've been looking at you going, oh my God, what?
Son of them Squishy-Matic.
But he blew his brains all over him like Gallagher too, though. Wasn't like
nothing
Gallagher.
Like a little gray matter.
So your brother, he looks a lot like you, and he's like, I got nothing going on, bro. What do I do? He goes, you could be me.
you could pretend to be me.
You could be where I'm not and do your own
Gallagher
show.
Too.
You could cover the East Coast. I'll get the West Coast.
You know the funniest thing about that is I heard that he charged his brother. He like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a business, you know, you're paying your stake in
it. 20%, whatever.
You know, it's funny, a long time ago, like when I first heard about podcasting, you know, you'd read on Podcast Alley, this guy interviewed Gallagher on his podcast, and halfway through the interview, Gallagher figures out he's not on the radio, and he gets really annoyed and just wants to go. It's hilarious, because he's like, so are we, what are you talking about, we're not live on the air? He goes, no, this is a podcast. And he's like, well, what does that mean? He goes, no, I'm recording it for later. People download it. And he's like, oh. He just looks like, what? I don't want to be on the show. It's so funny. I wish
like,
I could find
it. It's like, what's the difference? People will be able to download and listen to this anytime. A radio show, they can hear it one time.
Yeah. With a podcast, you can listen to it anytime you want, and you can keep it forever.
Don't you understand, Gallagher? It's better.
It's a podcast.
I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying there's, you know.
Yeah, I think that Gallagher and Antobert see eye to eye on this.
Well, I would expect that between those two.
It's radio.
I have no idea what that means.
Steven, you don't know what I'm talking about because you'd have to see the thing. But I'll tell you after the show. But anyway, guys, Phenomenon, incredible show. It will hopefully get low ratings and be gone forever. But let's talk about Heroes, Bill. Steven, did you see Heroes?
No.
For the second week in a row, my DVR, last week I hit play in the previews to last week's 24, come on, the recap. And all of a sudden it freezes and it says, save or delete. I'm like, huh? So I have to delete it and the show's not there. This week, at the 30-minute mark, it does that. So luckily, I did a backup recording of the bedroom. But this week, Kristen Bell is on the show, Bill.
She was.
Yes.
Can't wait to get home and watch
she's
it.
Shocking.
They didn't have a lot for her character to do, though, did they?
No, not really.
You know what's funny is a lot of times you have to wait and see the reveal. Like, what is Peter's mother's power? They make you wait to see what are the powers of this character. I know she has powers. They immediately show you what Kristen Bell's are, and it makes no sense the way she does her power. Does it, Bill?
No. He's like, none. I don't know what's going on.
The guy's like, she's looking for Peter Petrelli at the beginning. And the guy's like, well, I know where he is. He's at the so-and-so bar. But you better be careful. That guy's dangerous. She goes, oh, don't worry. I can take care of myself. And she's got lightning coming out of her hand. It's like, what? Did that make any sense to you, Bill?
No. Especially, like, I like the little touches of her moving her fingers around and letting, like, the arcs of energy touch
the
sides.
Yeah, she travels along
one
of those storage units and walks down it, and it's got electricity. She's one of the five
storms.
She
does the old Freddy Krueger kind of...
Yeah. But anyway, that's cool and all. And apparently Peter is already sleeping with this chick, and he doesn't really
care. That was quick.
He hasn't looked at his identity yet because he's too busy being in love with this girl he just met.
He's too busy boning the Irish girl.
Yeah, and then he's like, okay, it's time to look in the box and see who I am. And
it's enough of that.
It's a passport and a ticket to Montreal. And he's like, I thought there would be more. Like, why I'm here? Damn it! And then he does the Isaac thing and he paints a painting with his eyes and everything. But I'm telling you, I'm more interested in the black girl story. I don't even remember her
name.
The girl who can look at people, do stuff, and then she could do it like
Micah's playing
the piano, and she sits down and she starts playing too, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you played. She goes, I don't. And she looks down and she's like, oh my God, I'm playing the piano. And Micah's like, hey, you have powers just like me. It must be in our family. I love how when he says, my dad, he could walk through walls, and she was like, he could? Like, wow, that's crazy.
Man, crazy.
He never did that when he was here.
Little man, you be crazy. You know what I'm saying?
What's wrong with you? You're lying to me.
So they go and they do that where they show the kids jump roping. So she starts jump roping and stuff. But my favorite thing is she was watching Dragon with Jason Scott Lee.
Nice.
And she starts doing karate and flips. That's a cool power she's got.
What's a better place to learn how to fight than watching Dragon?
Yeah, Jason Scott Lee, he learned all the Bruce Lee moves. And I guess they couldn't... When you saw that, did you think what I thought? Oh, guess they couldn't get the rights to a Bruce Lee movie. Yeah. That's the only reason they would have shown Dragon.
Yeah.
A guy playing Bruce Lee. But then we have the Matt Parkman and Nathan Petrelli storyline where he tracks down his dad, but he's too scared to knock on the door, so Nathan does it for him. And his dad... I guess he has powers kind of like him, but he tricks him into going in the other room. And it's almost like he's an illusionist, right, Bill? He can make you see things that's not really there.
Yeah, he's like Chris Angel.
Yeah, he's a mentalist.
Nope,
he can make spoons float and bend.
In fact, his name is Mennock the Mentalist.
Okay, at this part, Matt Parkman, he can read minds. He's met a girl who can heal. He was friends with a nuclear guy. He's met several superpowered people who have powers. So when he's with his dad, he goes into a room. All of a sudden, he's in darkness, and he wakes up, and there's a prison guard there. And he's like, hey, come here, and he's roughing him up, and he's talking this weird reverse language. And all of a sudden, a baby appears on the floor, and he goes, hey, there's a baby in here. You got to get this baby out of here. And then all of a sudden, his wife's there, and he's like, honey, what are you doing here? I just want to go, dude. You're a moron.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Think about it. You've met people with powers. Your dad has powers kind of like you, he said. And now you're envisioning yourself in a prison and there's a baby on the floor and then your wife has appeared. Do you really think you're in a prison? Just think about it for a second. It must be some kind of a... Yes! Bingo! Hello! And then we have Nathan on the rooftop with the decimated New York, and it's the same disfigured Nathan that he keeps seeing. But
the
I like the scene where they, who was Matt fighting with? He was fighting with the prison guard. And
yes,
Nathan was fighting with his deformed self. And they kept cutting back and forth where you realize, oh, they're fighting each other. I thought that was kind of cool, but
the little screen shake thing to wake.
But it was Matt cool. Wasn't it cool, Bill? But then they did it a little too long. Like, okay, we get it. They're fighting each other.
Yeah, it was a little much after a while.
And what's with Ando going to, like, this, what is this guy, a restoration artist on the Skrulls?
Yeah, that was so dumb. Why can't they, do they really need, did they need that? They didn't need that.
It's like, they
why couldn't they just go back to
remember
to,
those Skrulls that Hero sent to Ando in the shaft of the sword? Well, he can't read them anymore. It's like they faded. So he goes to a guy who can restore old Skrulls. And so he's restoring them for him, and he's slowly reading the story of what's going on with Hero. It's almost like they didn't really have much to go on, so they just kind of invented that storyline just to give Ando and Hero something.
Yeah.
And nothing happened in the Hero story. He's like, okay, I'm still with these guys, and and there's a great battle we're going to fight, and see you next week, pretty much.
Over.
That was it.
So Kristen Bell goes to see the Irish guy, and he's like, where's Peter Burchell? And he's like, I don't know who you're talking about. She's like, really? And then she kills him. So
yep. Why not?
He's dead. So there you go.
Crispy bones. He looked like Aunt Boo.
Yeah, I love when they come and they walk in. Peter grabs her and kind of shields her away from his charred body. And I was like, Uncle Owen! That's what I love. Da-na.
Smoky Bones!
And then there was a black guy there. I guess, was he their friend? Had you ever seen him before?
No, but he you know, he was Mormon. So I think to console them.
And Peter was like, what killed him? What made him look like that?
Dynamite!
No, it wasn't dynamite.
You know, I always told him to stop messing around with that TNT.
Exactly. So, am I missing out on anything? Oh, there's the Jessica in the mental institution.
Yeah.
Nikki.
And, of course, you know, and did we mention that Matt Parkman's dad is evil?
Yes, he is evil.
Like, he's evil.
Much like Bert, he's evil.
Yes, evil Bert and Osama.
And he gets away, and it turns out he's going to kill Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day. Ned Ryerson!
Ding!
You guys did the same time. Genius.
Oh, if only we could practice that.
It was. But Heroes, it was a filler episode till next week. Hopefully a lot of stuff happens. And hopefully it records decent for me to watch. Now, guys, to prepare you for the next episode of Smallville, I have this for you.
Nobody goes to bed Satan and wakes up Oprah.
Except Oprah.
That's right. Now, Bill, Steven, you didn't get to watch Smallville, right?
No.
So let me paint a picture for you.
I'm closing my eyes.
Paint that picture.
A Hollywood film crew in Smallville filming a superhero comic book adaptation movie for the comic book War Angel. War Angel, right?
Your Angel.
Starring
Chris
Angel.
Oh, that's the comic book that Lex collects.
Right. He collected in the early Smallville. Right. And they're adapting it. And what's funny, did you notice that he kind of looks like Superman Lex Luthor? The way they made War Angel look, he's bald. He's got a mask, but his outfit is kind of like Superman. It's almost like they morphed Superman. Whatever. But anyway... that is Mark Voorhees, though, Bill. That's the chick from Saved by the Bell.
No, it isn't. That's the chick that was in, what's that stupid movie? The Time Machine, isn't it? Like, or it's some singer.
Absolutely not. No,
it's Tina Milan or something. Huh? It's not Lark Voorhees. She'd be like 50 years old
by now.
Look it
up on IMDb right now.
Okay.
While we're talking.
All right.
What was this episode called?
Shit.
War Angel, I think.
God Almighty!
So, basically, the chick who... Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell. Clark saves her, and she's immediately like, you're my hero. And she's...
look at my breasts.
She's
They're
in love with him and stuff. And the best part is when he shows up to his house... And she's already in there, and the reporters are outside. Hey, what's it like dating a Hollywood starlet? And he's like, what? And he goes inside, and there's, like, candles and stuff, and she's getting a massage in his living room. It's like, what?
Okay, yes. It is Christina Milian, played Rachel Davenport.
Dude, it's Lark Voorhees.
Her alias.
Who's Christina Milian?
I don't know.
It's Lark Voorhees. Yeah, Steven, I'm going to show you, man. It's a chick. It's a Lisa Turtle from... Lisa Turtle.
Was Dustin Diamond in it?
No, unfortunately, he's not. Oh. But he would have been great as the nerd.
He was a warrior angel.
So here's the deal. Is they're filming this movie in the comic book War Angel. I don't even remember the character she played, but his girlfriend, War Angel's girlfriend, dies in the comic books. But in this Hollywood version, they've changed it where she lives. Well, there's a prop guy, geek, who's like, no, she needs to die. So he's trying to kill her, Steven. That is the plot to this episode.
I think that's absolute genius.
Beautiful.
But here's the best part of the whole episode.
It gets better?
Lionel Luthor is alive, and he's being held captive
by Mormon.
By Kathy Bates from Misery.
No, style. It's Annie Wilkes' sister.
Annie Wilkes' sister, who happens to be growing pot in her house for some reason.
Copious amounts of the marijuana.
When they showed all the pot, I was like, oh my god, she's growing meteor marijuana.
Meteor marijuana. Yeah, I was like, whoa, man, that shit's awesome.
But they never got to that. But they show, he looks down and his hand is in a bear trap, like stuck there. I was like, what? What was that about? I'll keep you strapped.
You're
in
not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's a bear trap on your hand. But she calls. She goes, "He's awake. I thought I'd let you know." And it's like, who's she talking to? Turns out, Lana. Lana's paying her to hold him captive.
Dum dum dum.
I'll pay you in all the meteor marijuana you can.
Yeah.
Smoke.
This shit's out of that world.
This stuff is fantastic.
God almighty!
So, basically, Clark somehow figures out from the threatening letters that it has to do with a comic book. It's like the wording. I know who I'll visit. Lex. And ask him about his war angel. This is the best part of the show. He's like, I'm surprised you're asking about something as trivial as comic books, Clark. Quack, quack, quack. So, he goes to this cabinet, Bill, and he opens it up, and it's this immaculate display of comics. Did you love that? The way Lex stores his comics, it's incredible.
It's like a $10,000 armoire for comics.
Nice so, humidor style.
Yeah. Clark reads the...
Humidity.
He's like, this is what the line said about solitude or whatever. And he goes, that's War Angel issue 5 right here. And he pulls it out. He like has it memorized. And so they know exactly what the guy's going to do.
Because it's a bald super.
So the guy sticks a real bullet in the prop gun that's going to shoot her, a la The Crow, Brandon Lee. It's very shocking. But Clark saves her, and the guy is hiding behind some pallets, Bill. There's
yeah,
only some pallets.
Great.
There's some pallets in the background everywhere.
He had to watch her get killed, so he hid behind some pallets. What he could just coincidentally see through at the right angle.
What makes no sense about that is he's a prop guy who belonged there on the set, so he could just stand there like a regular person and watch her get killed. He didn't have to hide.
Yeah.
But as he's standing,
it was him.
As he's standing there behind the pallets, Clark zips by, grabs a bullet with his bare hands, and is standing over in the corner. And he opens up his hand, and you see the sizzling bullet in his hand, and it's like a foot away from the guy behind the pallet, going, "Oh my god!" He's like right there. How does Clark not hear him with his super hearing or anything? Oh my god.
It's convenient. It's
then he
really...
turns and throws the bullet and kills the prop guy.
No, he doesn't even know it. And he's
he puts it in his mouth and spits it out at him.
The nerdy guy's like, there's a true hero. He must save the world. And he says,
a true hero!
He sends Clark this disturbing letter, like, you were the one or something, like you're Neo or something.
It's all for you, Clark!
But the best part of the whole episode is we got some Grant Gabriel sarcasm. Let's check it out.
And I'm stifling my yawn because...
They show him picking on Lois the whole time. And
oh, great, Gabriel.
Follow me.
He's like, I'm going to a big banquet dinner, see? And you're going to go with me right here on my arm. And she's like, oh,
a nice piece of arm candy here. Look here. You're going to come with me, you little chickadee.
And she's like, I don't date my boss. And he's like, well, forget it then. You're not the plus one anymore. And it's like, what? What are you talking about?
Can you bother me?
And she goes, if it's any consolation, Grant, I would have gone with you, you would have been my arm candy. And I was like, what? And I was like, well, he is kind of dreamy when you think about it. I mean, who else could...
Totally.
Who could pull off a line like this?
And I'm stifling my yawn because...
Only he could.
Oh.
But here's the best part.
They gotta kill this guy quick.
Yeah, here's the best part of the whole. Please. No, they're developing a freaking romance between him and Lois. They've turned
him to sleep right to the top.
I mean, when are they gonna bring in the real editor?
How did Lex find his dad, Steve? Bill?
Lex found his dad because of Lois going to him about the land that was purchased
dam. He catches Lois dressed up like a secretary in his office.
And can I just say the most disturbing thing of the entire episode was Lex's father's gross, friggin' leathery chest skin hanging out of it. I was like, oh my God.
Well, what's funny
is... It looked like, you know how like whenever you make a cup of cocoa... And you leave it there, and that film gets...
I hope
that's
that was
what
dirt.
His chest skin looked like.
Because there's a part where he tries to escape, but Lana hits him over the head, and just in time. But what's great is Lex finds him. He's like, Dad, I'm here to save you. And he's like, how could you do this, Lex? I know it was you. And he's like, well, I see you lost your faith in me, Dad. Right then, Annie Wilkes is there with a shotgun. But I love... She pulls the shotgun on Lex, but then Lionel grabs... What is he? He got a brick or something, Bill?
I don't know what the hell it was.
He gets a drop on her. He hits this lady in the head with a brick. I'm not kidding. 20 times. He's like... Duh, 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 just repeatedly, and Lex is like, Dad! Dad! Dad, stop! She's dead!
Blood on his face.
You stupid bitch! I killed you! It just goes
this
on forever.
For the bear trap.
And I laughed my ass off. It was genius. Yeah. Like,
I can't blame you for my bad skin.
It was awesome. But then later, of course, Lana is kidnapped. The guy tasers Lark Voorhees and Lana. And what? I don't even remember what happened. I was doing show stuff while I was watching, but he throws her over the ledge, right, of the building.
Yeah.
And Clark
he dumps her over the side of the building.
And she's falling to her death. Ah, great effects, by the way. And Clark catches her, and she's looking at him all dreamy. You saved me. And he's standing there. I'm like, oh, my God, are they flying? Clark learned how to fly. But all of a sudden you hear, like where he lands, like real hard. He's like, I'm glad you're okay or whatever. It's like he wasn't flying. He was just flying.
He jumped high or something.
He was falling really slow, basically.
Yes, he learned to, levitate.
It was
not fly, but levitate.
So it was quite breathtaking, really.
And I'm stifling my yawn because...
Exactly.
Of this episode.
But I love where Lana plays dumb at the end to Lionel. I'm so glad you're okay. And he's like, cut the crap. I know it was you, all right? So when he's telling Lana that she needs to stop with her retribution, who is she trying to get revenge on? Lex?
I have no... Yeah.
Or the reason her parents died because of a meteor shower. She's trying to get revenge on Clark.
I'm just trying to get something going so they can kill her off. Because no one likes her.
Will he ever be Superman on the show?
It can't come soon enough at this point.
But at the end they showed the comic book guy... Lex is bribing him with rare comics. My God, issue number 5, this is so rare. He's like, you can have it. What is he going to get out of this nerd?
Nothing, because the nerd said, I was crazy. It was nothing.
So bad.
I think the nerd realizes that Lex is the... I can't even remember the characters' names in that.
I can't remember anyone's names on this episode. There is Lark Voorhees' name. What was her name on the show? She looked like Wonder Woman. They even had the W. Did you notice? So bad. Now, I guess that's Smallville talk. And
nobody goes to bed Satan and wakes up Oprah.
Oprah does.
So let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll see if anybody wants to call in. We'll do some news, Bill. What do you say?
All right. That burp. Confirms it.
Hey, I tried to cover it up. Sorry, I ate at Campo Verde before I got here.
Campo Verde, come eat here.
All right, everybody, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
What would Joseph Smith do?
God almighty!
All right, we're back. Yeah, we die. If anybody would like to call us, call 818-935-5132. We'll be accepting phone calls. Steven will be operating the soundboard. The phone
volunteers are here to accept your calls.
Yes, we will be taking any kind of, you know.
Oh, there we go. We got some butt action happening.
Yeah.
What did she say?
We'll be waiting for some butt action.
$100 contribution. We will send you something.
A Nowhere Mulberry tote bag.
There you go.
Hey, I would take one of those, wouldn't you?
And a copy of Rick Steves Europe.
Big giant chicken is chastening me.
Did she say it's chastening her?
Yes.
It's chastening me.
Don't you know that people like that care a lot about
grammar?
Proper grammar.
Listen.
Big giant chicken is chastening me.
Chastening. It's chastening her. It's scolding her. You're bad. You're awful. You're a terrible person.
It's quite shocking, isn't it?
It is. You know, those chickens can be really mean to people. It's just wrong.
They're jerks.
They are.
818-935-5132. Let's go ahead and start the news, and people can call in whenever, and we'll take calls. Very loose structure here. We're not all planned out and all that kind of stuff. Right, Bill?
Okay. Yeah, it should be fine.
Let's... Oh, sorry, Bill.
Oh, do the news. Let's start.
Let's do the news!
Take a number.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, in Berlin, Germany, a teenager speeding through a German town in a go-kart with seven squad cars in hot pursuit managed to give the frustrated officers the slip, police said on Friday. After leading the convoy in a five-kilometer chase, which is 3 miles, I think.
Kilometers? Yeah. I can't handle that. What?
On a convoy on a 3 mile chase through the winding streets of Mönchengladbach, the 18-year-old driver spotted a private garage with an open door where he decided to lie low. We were chasing him across town, but the squad cars couldn't keep up with the go-kart because he was able to take corners faster and he was able to get away.
What? Cool.
That sounds backwards. And the go-kart can take the turns faster.
That's
nice.
Pretty sweet, man.
That's a pretty fast go-kart.
Huh?
Here at the bottom of the story, it says that this town, this Mönchengladbach, has produced two Formula One racing drivers. So maybe this kid in the go-karts got a bit of a future. Now, here's a crazy story out of Connecticut. A 35-year-old Uncasville woman has been charged with using the internet to try to get revenge on an old boyfriend by breaking up his marriage. Pilar Stofega has been charged with second-degree harassment and breach of peace and released on a $2,500 bond. Waterford police say she created phony profiles of the former boyfriend's current wife on adult websites that included the wife's home and work phone numbers. Ooh. And high school yearbook picture.
That's not cool, man.
No, Stofega said she did it to be vindictive, knowing that the profiles would create marital problems between the victim and her husband. The plot came to life when strange men started calling the Waterford woman's house over the summer.
Oh, really?
Mr. Fega had dated 8 years ago, used his own computer to investigate, and discovered someone had created a profile for his wife on several internet sites, according to the court records. Police say the husband did more online investigating and was able to find out that the person behind the phony profiles of his wife was the woman he dated in 1999.
Wow. Well, you dropped off for a bit there, Bill, because of Skype.
Oh, I did?
No big deal.
Damn Skype. Anyways,
Force,
creepy lady.
Pornography, stuff like that.
Can't get past her old boyfriend getting married. That's just bizarre. Next story. This guy is my hero. Dallas police said a disabled man shot and killed a person who broke into his apartment early Friday morning. Police said the man was able to get out of his wheelchair, struggle with the invader, take his gun, and shoot him. The event at the Village Oaks Apartments in the 3500 block of East Overton Road were reported to police at 2:50 a.m. The intruder was taken to Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, where he died. The disabled man was not immediately identified by police, but he appeared to be in his mid-50s.
Wow.
Awesome.
And you know, in Texas, somebody breaks in your house, you're allowed to shoot them, right, Steven?
Yeah, don't screw with people in wheelchairs, I'm telling you, man.
And I don't even think they make you come into the station. They're like, well, you were in the right. Good day,
well,
sir.
Well, they've done that. There was another shooting like that where the guy has been breaking into, and he shot two intruders so far. It's like he has a junkyard or something.
Nice.
And it's twice in 2 months.
Why would anybody try to break into anyone's house at this point in Texas?
No kidding.
Don't break.
You know what's sad is everyone owns guns in Texas. They're like, why won't anyone break into my house? I'm just itching to kill somebody.
Don't break into my house.
I don't feel beat. Guns do. That's a pretty badass silencer on that weapon.
That is. It's pretty sweet.
This is great. Out of Buffalo, New York, the Amish teens accused a vandalism spree at two homes early Wednesday morning may have been retaliating against Amish elders who were cracking down on youth's drinking parties.
What would Joseph Smith do?
No, these are Amish. They're Quakers. I don't believe that bullshit.
They must be in Rumspringa right now.
Rumspringa. Five Amish men, all 18 or 19, have been arrested after being accused of smashing windows, flipping buggies over, and tearing down mailboxes at two Amish homes early in the morning.
They hate the mail! They hate mail!
Let's flip a buggy! Woohoo! Sounds like a party.
Wow!
Wonder if they tip some cows. So, I mean, that's just...
Did it say if they were just regular Amish or they were going through Rumspringa?
I think they're just regular.
What's so funny?
I just love that.
Rumspringa.
That's a great word, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
It's like, hey,
some
what do you...
just rolls off your tongue.
What are you Amish kids doing? Hey, Rumspringa, dude.
Sorry.
We'll return when we're ready.
We can buy regular clothes, not make our own.
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
Huh?
It's just, you know, I guess now that these Amish kids...
Sounds like a Chumbawamba song, Rumspringa.
Chumbawamba.
I get knocked down, but I get...
No, don't get that stuck in my head.
Oh, they're going to make me down.
Rumspringa.
No, they were communists.
Those bastards.
Chumbawamba. Communists. They were reds. So, yeah, I guess
what?
These poor Amish kids... Yeah, they were, I'm telling you. These Amish kids just don't want to take it anymore. They listen to Twisted Sister and drink and flip buggies.
Hey, who doesn't listen to Twisted Sister?
It's
on the 8-track in their buggies.
Yeah. I think their best friend is named Brother Munson.
It's a conspiracy.
And his friend, the whore.
What I'm talking about is round and has three holes in it. Don't talk about Miss Elizabeth that way. That's one of my favorite line in the whole movie.
What happened to the Farrelly brothers, man?
I don't know.
Was like, now it's painful.
He's trying to get them to bowl. I'm talking about what's round and has three holes in it. How dare you talk about her like that? Oh, my God. It's so good.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Thank you, Ollie.
You know what's really kind of crazy? Back, I don't know, some of our older listeners might remember this, but I guess like back in the 50s during the Cold War stuff, there was that duck and cover about, you know, if the bomb drops your desk.
There was like they have the old 50s films like duck and cover.
Did
if you see a flash.
I had to do that in the 70s.
Get it to your desk. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, now it's so pathetic that now in Boston there are so many gangland shootings around schools that
that's what they
they're now having
for.
To teach the kids to duck and cover when they hear gunshots in these schools in Boston.
Wow, you have to be taught that?
Well, you know what? They're just covering their own ass at this point. You know, because they could somebody through the school Why didn't you teach them to hide under their desk? You know, that sort of stuff.
Oh, I gotcha.
But I just found that really pathetic. What's wrong with people?
Stevie, get down!
The Mulberry Gang Wars.
We're the bad side of Mulberry. Jesus!
That's the really bad side.
Yeah. in Kentucky, Lexington,
God
Kentucky. Man, this is a bizarre crime. Police say burglars somehow made off with a large safe belonging to a popular Lexington, Kentucky restaurant. It happened Sunday night at the Alfalfa on Main Street in downtown Lexington. The safe weighed more than 100 pounds and had thousands of dollars inside. What's more, the restaurant is within sight of both the county courthouse and a police station. So far, police don't have any suspects, but workers at Alfalfa say it's possible the burglary was an inside job. That's pretty ballsy, man. I think that's up there with those people that would hide in a canine training center, robbing a restaurant directly across from a courthouse and a police station.
Hey, let's hide out there for a bit.
You forgot to say please.
The police never hang out at the police department. They're always out cruising. Yeah.
They're too busy eating donuts.
It's like they always, every once in a while in a cop movie, someone goes to rob the bar the cops are hanging out in or the donut shop.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen in RoboCop 2, Bill?
Yes, it did.
Apparently it happens in real life.
Kane! Here's some nuke.
I'm coming, Kane!
I'm going to have to watch that tonight.
I'm your bro, not your foe.
In London, a surge in naked sleepwalking among guests has led to one of Britain's largest budget hotel groups to retrain staff to handle late-night nudity.
Nice.
Travel Lodge, which runs more than 300 business hotels in Britain, says sleepwalking rose sevenfold in the past year, and 95% of the somnambulants are scantily clad men. Oh, that's such bullshit. You guys are waking up.
Yeah. Do they say that? We got some butt action in the hallway.
They're waking up in the middle of the night and just walking around naked waiting to bump into women like, oh, I'm sleepwalking. Oh, I want to have sex. Oh, I'm sleepwalking. We have seen an increased number of cases over the years, so it's important that our staff know how to help sleepwalking when it arises. Yes, just throw grenades at them.
Uno granada!
It'll wake them up.
One grenade!
One grenade! It just fell right here in my hole.
What do I do? Jump! Jump, motherfucker!
Una jumpa!
Una jump! Una, get the F out of there! No, it'd be funny. There would have been a black guy. The first guy said this.
Una granada!
The other guy said... Said,
God Almighty!
Yes, thank you. Took a long time to get there, but we got there.
The joys of editing.
Yeah, we're live. No editing. We're screwed.
You have to be a little quicker on the updraw. All right, so do you want to continue doing some news, or do you want to move on to
somehow,
DVDs?
Somehow, immaculately conceived gonorrhea.
Are we talking about that now?
Well, why don't we go ahead and get us some DVDs, and then we'll have time to take phone calls. We're getting so many, we're putting them all on hold, Bill. It's crazy. Yeah. The phone lines are ringing. Steven's giving out tote bags. How many tote bags have we given away, Steven?
35, 40?
Good round number there.
We're starting to run out,
33.
People. The clock is counting down.
Steven, look out! All right, what do you say we do some... Let's do some... What?
DVDs?
Yeah! What do you say, Bill?
Let's do something like this!
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs! HD Blu-ray has set the definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
DVDs, not CDs.
Huh? We're going to do
this
all night?
Yes, I can do DVDs all night.
Yes.
And I'm stifling my yawn because...
Screw you, Gabriel.
Gang Gabriel.
Try to say that guy's name five times fast, Steven.
Crank Gabriel. Gang Gabriel. Can't do it.
Call in right
now. It's impossible.
818-935-5132 and say Grant Gabriel five times. All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week?
Yeah, that's a direct challenge to Andy.
Jacob, it's chastening me.
Chastening me?
That chicken's chastising me. He's judging me for how I live.
Scolding me. This first DVD is just a terrific film. Any film that has a duo of Malcolm McDowell and Michael Pare in the same film, it's got to be good.
Sexual
it's called Tyson. 2103, The Deadly Wake.
Sounds good. It's got
to
be as
10
good
years
as
after
the...
losing his ship and crew, a disgraced sea captain is given a chance to redeem himself when the powerful Proxate Corporation needs a shipment of synthetic protein ferried to refugees of the Nigerian War. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Could it be any better than Philadelphia Experiment 2?
Probably not. I love how these B-movies always have such long explanations, and they're so...
Yeah, I know. Like the A-movies, they give, like, it's a one-word tagline.
Yeah. I mean, really, do we need to know 10 years after losing his ship and crew, a disgraced sea captain is given a chance to redeem himself when the powerful Proxate Corporation needs a shipment of synthetic protein ferried to refugees of the Nigerian War? Huh?
Aren't you supposed to be able to sum up a movie in, like, a sentence?
I mean, that's a friggin' paragraph. It continues. It continues.
There's more.
There's more. There is more. Put in charge of the SS Lilith, a rat-infested supertanker, crewed by the criminally insane. Captain Murdoch must also contend.
Murdoch?
Yes, Murdoch.
Face in Hannibal 2?
He always has a cigar in his mouth. He must also contend with an untrustworthy security officer. And a hidden cargo of biochemical weapons capable of starting the apocalypse 20-minute plagues. What? Holy shit, this makes absolutely no sense. That's why they're just
check
like,
that
you know
out.
What? This is so good that we're just going to have to put it right on video. It will be too big for the theaters.
Medic.
This is bigger than Mega Snake.
Yeah. No
this
theater
is bigger than Land Squid.
No theater can hold this.
Land Squid cannot hold a candle to this movie.
All you Josh Whedon fans, Angel Collector Set is hitting, and it's every season that's been on with all kinds of special features.
What's your own
and
pair of
audio
things?
Commentaries.
What, Bill, did you watch Angel? Is it a good show?
No, I never watched it.
Josh.
I never really watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so.
I mean, you own that box set, that big.
I do own it, and I've never watched a single episode.
You're waiting until, you're trapped underground or
something.
I'm
waiting for the Nigerian War of 2013.
Your instincts aren't wrong. It's not funny.
I mean, all the people can't be wrong, right? I mean, I bet Buffy. You watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was a fun show, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and I watched the first season of Angel, and then it started getting just ridiculous.
Really?
You know?
Was it just too cheesy?
Yeah,
I have to take back the Buffy thing. I did see one episode. It was probably one of their more popular ones. I think it was called Hush. Nobody could speak, and those weird looking zombie dudes just kind of floated around town and would take people's voices or something.
I remember that episode. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought of this, but tonight on Noggin or The Inn was Degrassi of the Dead.
And shut up.
I'm serious. It was a made for TV, like Degrassi Halloween special and the description is, students begin becoming, coming back to life as the undead. And I tagged him like, I'm a cornet. How sweet is that?
Are you serious?
Talking
dead
snake,
serious.
Snake and wheels, dead, oh, coming back to life.
No, probably just the students, you know.
Snake and wheels.
No.
You know, I forgot to mention a few weeks ago, the entire series of Degrassi High hit DVD.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to
like
melt
two
it.
Two or three weeks ago.
How much?
Every
is it over $100?
No, it's like $25.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Dude, send me the link to that. I'm ordering that shit.
Okay, I'll send you the link after
the show. I love Degrassi High. And I'm not talking about the
new Degrassi.
Degrassi New Generation.
No, I'm talking about the original Degrassi High. You know, the one with the horrible last episode.
Wake up in the morning. No, I know what you're talking about. I'm just telling for our listeners who are listening right now.
All right.
If there
See,
are,
I get easily confused.
If
you
there
know that.
Is anyone listening, I'm just going on an assumption here.
Don't throw too many things at me real fast. I'm, you know, real slow.
People like you take
kind
that
of
quote
like,
way out of context.
What was his name again on 24? I'm real quick tonight.
Jack Bauer?
No, the retarded kid.
Oh, Brady.
Brady.
I'm Brady. Sorry. I do computers.
All right, so next DVD is Basket Case 2.
What was that?
Exactly.
The hit sequel to Basket Case 1.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Basket Case?
I'm sure
yeah,
I have.
Yeah, wasn't that the
it
one
is
with...
It's an effed up movie, man. You know what it's about? Okay, it's a dude who's born... He's a Siamese twin, but his brother who's joined to him is this weird, deformed-looking monstrosity. So what do? They cut him off so he can look normal, and they throw his brother away in the trash, but he's not dead.
Is this technically the Andy Garcia story?
Huh? That
went
over my head.
Andy Garcia was born in Cuba with his twin attached to his shoulder, and they cut it off.
Hey, man!
No, I've never heard that before. Are you serious?
Yeah, I am not. I'm not joking.
No, is that just a rumor? Is it true? Is it like
no,
the gerbils in or Rod
no,
Stewart in the stomach pumping? Or
you know what? It might be, but it's be like, no, it's totally true, man. He was born with a twin on its shoulder and he had to cut it off.
So I've never heard that. It's just like Jamie Lee Curtis was a man. Richard Gere had gerbils up his ass. Rod Stewart had his stomach pumped, and Alfonso Ribeiro broke his neck breakdancing. And now Andy Garcia had a basket case on his shoulder.
A basket case twin.
And
I'm looking it up right now. Andy Garcia basket case.
But in the movie.
Hey, look, I just typed it into Google, and it comes right up. Andy Garcia was born with a co-joined twin the size of a softball attached to his shoulder.
Oh,
it was surgically removed,
it's
and
nothing.
Garcia has no memory of it.
God almighty!
Awesome. That's
it's
a
right
crazy
there on internet
shit
movie
I've ever
database.
Heard.
He is the man. He was born with a basket case.
Sexual tension.
I'm telling you, it's like it's a fictional version of the Andy Garcia story.
That's
if his
crazy.
Son would have lived.
So I wonder if he watches Basket Case. He's like, I can't handle this.
I can't watch this. My brother.
But the thing about Basket Case is the blob basket case. He lives in a basket. His brother finds him and he keeps him in a basket. And he feeds him and stuff, but he sneaks out to go kill the doctors and stuff that threw him in the garbage. And
so
I thought the story was over after the first one.
He got all the dust.
By the way, this is an extremely disturbing and gory film, and I would never sit through it again. After watching it when I was like 10 years old, I was probably like 10 or 12, and I've been disturbed ever since. But
I hear it's Andy Garcia's favorite film.
So if anybody wants to go ahead and check it out, go ahead. So
all right. Next DVD, another horror, directly from Synapse Entertainment, Brain Damage, special edition.
You're the son of a bitch!
It must be the Halloween episode.
The Frank Henenlotter film,
Brain
Damage.
Is it Brain?
1987.
Who's in it?
Rick Herbst.
Oh.
Worm-like parasite named Almamer. Attaches into Brian's neck, offers to inject his brain with hallucinogenic fluid, giving him pleasurable psychedelic experiences. But the catch is, to keep the high, Brian has to feed Almer his favorite food, human brains.
You've got troubles, Mac.
I've seen
the director of Basket Case and Frankenhooker.
Oh, the guy's a genius, man. Frankenhooker.
Yeah. Frankenhooker was just about the best movie ever.
Really?
I would say it's up there with like any good like film like Barry Lyndon.
Want
I would
date?
Watch Barry Lyndon along with the
Yeah, that's stupid.
What is that super crack he invents? Yeah. It blows hookers up. The best line is at the end when he basically is dismembered and his wife puts him back together. Remember? Yeah. And he looks down and he has a woman's body and he goes, "Hey, my Johnson! Hey, my Johnson! Where'd it go?" It's like, "Sorry, honey."
He's a method actor. All right, next DVD. The Alicia Cuthbert film, Captivity.
Does that mean it's Captivity. A bomb?
Yeah, I think it was a bomb.
I saw her on a show talking about this. She was trying to plug this bell, and she goes, "If you're a fan of the Saw movies, you'll love this, Captivity." And it's just like, can you get any more of a ripoff of a bad, like, franchise?
Said, love director Roland Joffe. You'll
if you
love
like
Captivity.
Shitty movies like Saw, you'll love Captivity.
So I guess she's like some famous model, and she gets drugged and taken away, and then she's, I guess, put in captivity.
And I'm stifling my yawn because...
Excellent.
That
Grant
was
Gabriel.
Great.
Good job, Grant Gabriel. Can't say your name, but good job.
If you can't get enough Horatio Caine, then pick up CSI Miami.
Wow! Dan. Oh, sorry, Bill.
It's Miami drive-by style.
It's a drive-by Miami style. Wow! Dan!
I love that.
Hey, Frank.
Clip show.
You have a hot dog.
Wow!
Wow! Anytime he addresses Frank, it's just the best
Frank,
thing.
You see what we got here, Frank? I love that.
Yippee.
Wow! Instead of the wow, it should be
yippee.
That's how the show starts every week. Drive by, Miami style.
Yippee.
Exactly, Frank.
All right, next DVD. I love these films. They're Russian films by Timur Bekmambetov. Bekmambetov, I believe.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Well, he made the film Night Watch, the Russian film
about
you know, the good and evil fighting. And
over the magic chalk.
What?
Magic chalk?
That's Night Watch.
Night Watch, magic. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. There is... Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Day Watch, the TV.
That's happy Steven music, right?
Yeah. And I love the first one, and I have Day Watch. I actually own two copies of it, and they're bootlegs from Russia. Can't wait to get a hold of this unrated cut. Being released here in the States on Tuesday.
Will there be a dawn watch and a dusk watch? And I'm not being facetious.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, night watch, day watch,
a quadrilogy.
Dawn watch. There's actually a trilogy of books.
Can they do that after Alien? Are they allowed to?
Well, these books are older than Alien was. These books.
No, I mean like when they call something a quadrilogy. Is that a real word?
No, I think that's the only way you can call it something. If it's four movies in a series, it would be a quadrilogy.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
we'll
but
agree.
If you haven't
we'll
seen
agree.
If you haven't seen the first film, Night Watch, you can pick it up in a two-movie collection from Fox, and it's Night Watch and Day Watch for $20.
Damn, I've already bought Night Watch.
But
you have to rebuy it, Steven.
Shit. No, just
with
pick up
Russian commentary.
And at the magic job that Steven mentioned has a major part to play in Day Watch. And Day Watch is even better than Night Watch. It's just really badass.
What would you rather have, the day watch or night watch? Because night watch, you're not getting any sleep. You're sleeping during the day. So day watch.
Yeah, and night watch is more dangerous.
I can sleep any time.
Yeah, day watch is during the daylight. Vampires can't go out in the daytime, right?
Yep.
Unless you're the guy on the CBS show.
I can sleep during the day knowing I'm safe, that the vampires can't get me.
Yeah, have you guys watched that show?
I saw about 30 minutes of it, and I just sat
Moonlight.
There like, what the hell?
He goes, vampires can go out in the sun, but they just don't have their power during sunlight. And it
such bullshit.
And it makes them weak. So you can go out in the sun, and you could be killed normally, and you're weak. But it's not going to kill you.
I call bullshit on that. Yeah. Everybody Loves Raymond gift set every freaking season in a box. So there you go.
It's a box wine? Cause...
No, it should be. It actually should be a box with a revolver in it so you can shoot yourself in the head after you get it. Because I could never watch
Peter
this show.
Peter Boyle was great on that show.
He was the only thing that was good. Only, you know, Ray Romano's voice just drives me crazy. He sounds like Kermit. I just can't watch that show it's 44 friggin' discs. 44 discs of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Scares me, Jason.
Scares me, too.
You know, we forgot to talk about Friday Night Lights again, but okay.
Our favorite butler next to Mr. Belvedere, Mr. French, is back with Family Affair Season 4.
Yes!
Bottomsaw.
I thought you were going to go for the Benson.
No.
He's another favorite butler.
Benson was a butler.
I'm more into maids, like Adelaide from Different Strokes or like Mrs. Garrett.
Nice.
Alice.
Yes.
Mr. French. And then there was, of course, Buffy and Jody were definitely doing something, you know, behind the scenes.
Your gorgeous girlfriend, wife, mistress...
Buffy and Jody? That's sick, Bill. What are you talking about? Weren't they brother and sister?
Yeah.
General Toffpaw.
Hey, it was either that or Mr. French. What are you going to choose?
Mr. French?
Yeah. You're going to choose Mr. French? That's really pathetic.
Very rugged with that beard of his.
Yeah. Like Lynn Belvedere.
I'm squirting your butt with a water hose.
Ooh.
Streaks on to China. Never met him before.
Wow.
Who cares? Love that show. In the Land of Women. Adrian Brody. Adam Brody, Meg Ryan, Kristen Stewart. Some chick flick with the kid from the OC. Wow. I'm not going to bother with that.
Oh, I know what that is. That looks like a... Definitely
a screaming pile of shit.
If you were 15 and a girl and you liked Adam Brody, you would totally get into that.
Oh, he's dreamy.
I'm a black girl.
If you were a black 15-year-old, you would have loved that movie.
Next DVD is Jackie Chan's The Myth.
What a jerk.
I actually own this.
Chan's The Myth? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it is a horrible film. I mean, it's just really bad. It's Jackie Chan in... modern time and Jackie Chan, like, I think like a gazillion years ago, playing some first emperor of China. And it moves back and forth between the past and the present.
Screw like, the old judo man.
Sharing, you know.
Wait
like
a second, is this where they got the hero storyline on Heroes?
You know what, it would have to be because it's that bad. It's just, this is like... a horrible movie. I was so pissed that I spent like $30 importing this piece of shit. I don't even think it got released in the theater. It's so bad.
Remember when it was cool to watch Jackie Chan like dupes, like somebody had a bootleg, but then they release him and they've got a shelf of Blockbuster. He's doing Rumble in the Bronx, which is actually a movie they just rushed out here. It was dubbed, and it looked like crap, and it's not cool anymore. It's like John Woo.
It was a police story film, I believe, that was... the title was changed for America.
Super Cop.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it was one of those. But also, like, there was, like, Drunken Master 2, and you can't get a lot of those originals in their uncut form. Miramax, whoever brought them over, just edited them to pieces.
Rumble in the Bronx, filmed in Vancouver.
Yeah,
I remember staying up late from the Kung Fu Nights and watching Drunken Master and...
Oh, yeah.
All those.
I loved the police story films. They even did a new one, like 2 years ago. It was painful. Called New Police Story, as opposed to Old Police Story. In celebration of the world's greatest former porn star, Jenna Jameson, there is a Jenna Jameson Ultimate Collection. And I guess it's censored versions of her porn.
Tension.
I have no idea. Maybe it's like Cinemax version where they don't show any of the pornish stuff. It's just...
Nobody goes to bed Satan and wakes up Oprah.
Jenna okay. Jameson does.
So she's not into porn anymore?
Well, if she is, I wouldn't want to watch it because she's a skeleton now. It's really sad what she looks like.
Has she crossed over into actress like Tracy Lords did?
Yeah, right.
That really worked out for you, didn't it? What happened to you?
She can get any part in a Stephen King movie.
Yeah. What was that?
Hey, man, I was in the first few minutes of Blade.
Yeah, the first few minutes of Blade. First few minutes of Tommyknockers.
I was in John Waters movies.
Big giant chicken is chastening me.
It's chastening. The next DVD, speaking of John Waters, is a documentary called John Waters, This Filthy World, which I've actually heard a lot about. It's directed by Jeff Garlin, who is in Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. And it's like a Q&A session hosted by Waters. It's all about, his... crazy fans and his films and stuff like that. I guess it premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival to rave.
Just keep getting dirtier.
I've always been intrigued by his style and his taste.
Huh?
It's so bizarre. Like, I mean, it's just so crazy. Now, how could somebody be so determined to get such garbage out there?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are people out there that, like, have good ideas for film.
I can't.
And really
I'm
want that stuff out. But
we used to be
guy,
forced to watch those
I
scenes.
I can't, dude. I can't
I mean,
watch
have
that
you guys
shit.
Ever seen the one with Edward Furlong called Pecker?
Oh, that's tame. That's tame John Waters.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's still awful.
Yeah.
Nothing beats Divine eating dog shit. I mean, that's just terrific.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing more can be said after that.
Like a piece of dog.
Next DVD, The Man I Wish Would Just Die Already, Robin Williams in License to Wed.
How could you say that? Nanu Nanu.
You know what? That's whenever he was... watchable, but now it's just he's the same thing in every movie, and if I have to watch one more stupid friggin' ball hit someone in the head accompanied by a pratfall, I'm seriously going to kill myself. This ad for this on TV, it shows him throwing that ball at that John Krasinski, or however you pronounce his name, and he falls, and it's like, oh! And I was watching it, and my dad laughed, and I just looked at my dad like, there's no hope for you.
Oh, the guy from The Office, okay.
Yeah,
Jim.
So
I know what you're talking about now. They're going to get married, but they have to go through marriage counseling first, right?
Yes, with the wacky priest.
Oh, wait, we're getting a phone call. And boom goes the dynamite, you're on the air.
Is this Nowhere Mulberry?
Yes, it is. Who is
I'm
this?
I'm going to wish the Daystrom happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
That's
how are you doing
sweet.
Tonight?
And you get a
fantastic
magic tote bag. Nowhere in Mulberry tote bag.
This isn't my wife at all, is it?
Nope.
No, this is a stranger.
Are you
I
enjoying
just your birthday?
Oh, thank you. Are you enjoying the DVDs?
Yes. Did you talk about the special DVD you got today?
Oh, for my birthday? Yeah, Heather got me Army of Darkness on HD DVD.
Nice.
Adding to the collection.
Certainly
Fresh
the best believers. It has looked in a long time.
Thank you very much, Heather.
We're fully replacing all of our standard definition DVDs.
What did you look forward to?
Yeah, we're using those to prop doors open, that kind of thing. Tables
it's
that
funny,
are wobbly.
I literally have thousands of them, and I like go through all of them like, okay, so is this one worth the replacement in HD? Is this one worth it? Should I just watch this one up converted on the HD DVD player? So I basically, every HD DVD that I've replaced a DVD with, I've taken them and I'm listing them on eBay. Maybe I'll start selling them on the forum.
Yeah, I'm not eBay savvy. I need to become that way. But I've never used it.
Yeah, we have a lot of junk we could sell.
Like, what's the number one movie you wish we didn't own on DVD, Heather? The one you always name.
Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty. Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
It's just like, why do we own this? Nurse Betty? I was like, I don't know. It's a moment of weakness.
I own that, and I think I bought it because it was Morgan Freeman and Kid Rock. Kid Rock. You know, it just can't resist people to fight at Waffle House.
Take a number.
So I think I've got worse ones. I think Slacker is the one I wish I didn't own, or Slackers, the one with Jason Schwartzman.
Go ahead, Heather.
Our problem was we just used to buy DVDs instead of renting them. So yeah,
We didn't rent stuff. I'd go, we want to watch a movie. Let's buy Nurse Betty. Hey, 6 Day with Arnold. That should be good. This is worth the investment. Knives and stabbing weapons.
I've got a ton of those, too.
I hear Michael Rappaport's excellent in that.
He is.
He was great on My Name is Earl with Alyssa Milano.
Also, speaking of eBay, we have a lot of Star Wars Legos we can sell if anybody's interested.
Yeah, just send us your offers. We have the AT-AT, the AT-AT, as I heard some people call. You know, some people are like, AT-AT, what the hell is that? It's called an AT-AT.
All-terrain armored transport.
Yeah, I called it an AT-AT since I was a little kid.
Christ, even. I know that.
Heather, right. No! Put the gun down!
All right, I'm going to let you go. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. See you later.
All right, let's start to wrap this up. Looney Tunes Golden Collection, Volume 5. Holy crap, I wanted to buy the first one, and they're already on 5.
You've got troubles, Mac. Nice.
Hey, it's our...
I want them just for
is that our only
uncensored.
Bugs Bunny drop?
I wonder how many of these cartoons are, like, uncensored. I love these classics.
You are a beast on me!
There were some. Remember the one with the bird and the little, like, African kid with the bone in his hair?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be technically kind of offensive now?
Little Black Sambo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, they say the same thing for Song of the South. So, who knows?
Oh, is somebody asking what the number is? It's 818-935-5132, if you'd like to call. Can I say it faster than that? 818-935-5132. Grant Gabriel, Grant Gabriel, Grant Gabriel, Grant Gabriel.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Say it, Bill, 5 times fast, quick.
Grant Gabriel, Grant Grant
the forum, Philly.
Fuckers, something.
And I'm stifling my yawn because...
Magnum P.I. complete 7th season.
Yes!
If you can't watch it enough on, like, your local
Higgins!
UHF... The worst, most overrated show ever, My So-Called Life, the complete series.
The Claire Danes show.
Yeah, God, I hated that show.
What?
My sister loved
that's
it,
where,
so
what's his
I
face?
Had to hate it.
That's where What's His Face got his start.
Jared Leto, so
yeah,
dreamy.
Jared Leto.
Leto. Next DVD, Steven. Mystery Science Theater 3000 Collection, Volume 12.
You know, I love MST, but come on with the DVDs. How many of these are you going to put?
You know what? I buy every single one of them because I absolutely love these.
I do too.
This one,
they're so
this one has three of my favorite MST3Ks. It has Secret Agent Super Dragon, The Starfighters, and Parts, The Clonus Horror. If you remember, Parts the Clonus Horror got a lot of press whenever The Island came out because The Island is basically a direct ripoff from it.
Right, exactly.
And these are all just really funny.
Ega. Did I tell you? Water in my tires? I got water in my tires.
Still, one of my favorites. Definitely The Final Sacrifice with Roz Dower. Is there beer on
the
sun?
Can we have one more sacrifice? Okay, but this is the final sacrifice.
And then Larry Sonka.
Let me just pour some garbage on my engine here. God, I love that.
That is one of the funniest
Final
ever.
Sacrifice is genius. It really is. I can't afford these friggin' DVDs, man. Bill, you sent me a whole bunch of them, and they're awesome.
Do you still have them, or did you give them to your brother?
No, I still have them. No, I let my nephew watch them all, and he might have copied them. Hey, I'm in no way
responsible
for any of that, if the RIAA is listening.
I'll leave back to me.
Yeah, but
all right,
anyway, Bill, send me those new ones.
I will.
Good times.
You know what? I should have bought them a long time ago. Because there was a point in time where we would watch them and just talk about
Here's
them while
the
we
thing.
Watched.
Like a lot of those, Steven, I need you to watch them with me. It's so
we
sad.
Watched
it,
like,
to watch
I mean, last time I think we watched one was Soul Taker and a giant jaw dude.
Yeah. And the guy next to me, he's like, I have a tiny jaw. It was so funny. I have a tiny jaw.
I love how they kept making jokes about how the lead girl in it wrote the script, produced the
yeah.
script.
Yeah, every character's like, you're so beautiful. It's like every character's telling her how great she is. You have a wonderful personality. You're so beautiful.
Oh, so next DVD is October Road, the complete first season. Never watched a single episode. Don't care.
Do we have another
if you're,
caller?
What?
Oh, never mind. Keep going.
If you're a big fan of gay cinema, why not pick up Outing Riley?
Oh, my God, that's finally coming out? That's the guy who did the...
it's finally out?
Project Greenlight. It's his second film.
Stolen Summer. It's got Pete Jones.
Hello? Do we have somebody on the line, Foggy?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, you might need to turn down the sound in the background. You have a wonderful personality. You're so beautiful. Hey, we can hear ourselves.
Hey!
Hello, are you there?
You're so funny.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi.
Hi.
Should I turn off the radio?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Pause it. Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Hello. Who's this? Is this Marie?
This is Marie from the Philippines.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi.
Wow.
What time is it there?
11 a.m. Almost 12 noon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So it's like 11:51 a.m.?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. 12 hours later.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how long have you been listening to Nowhere in Mulberry?
Oh, since it started.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, a long time.
I'm the one who's been emailing you guys. I email rarely.
Right.
But I email you guys. I chatted with Jason, I think, on Gmail before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget about that chat
you
feature.
You have the website that I visited before about TV in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, it's not TV in the Philippines. I sort of download shows, so I talk about the shows I get from online.
Hey, but you're in the Philippines.
Like,
you're out of reach, right?
BitMeTV.org.
What?
BitMeTV.org. That's the one I use.
I use Mininova and BT Junkie.
Yes. Demonoid, Mininova.
Sounds like someone Bill gets along with.
So, Bill could go to jail, but you're safe in the Philippines, right?
Yes.
True.
Oh, no.
Unless she's in the southern Philippines where the Muslim... rebels are, right?
What?
I don't know.
You don't know? That's what I
they're
hear.
They're not really that... They're just areas in the southern Philippines. Oh. That.
Now, Marie, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you heard about this Andy Garcia having a brother attached to his neck? What is that? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
We're pretty sure Bill made that up, right?
Oh, dude, Andy Garcia was born with a baby attached to his shoulder.
Baby?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a basket case.
It looked like one of those Mad Balls toys.
Oh, Jesus.
That's about the size. It looked like the Screaming Mimi Bat Mad Ball toy.
It's about the size of a grenade.
Una granada! That's weird.
I'm telling you, it's true. He's going to do a story one day, My Dead Twin.
What?
I can still. Hey, Bill, I can hear you. In the
okay, okay, okay. Just.
It's getting a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for calling us, Marie. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, thank you.
Have you, for doing the show. Have you told many people to listen to our show?
Yeah, I wrote about it in my blog.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
But that was a long time ago.
Oh, you need to write about it again then.
I think it's done.
Put us as a link on your blog.
Are you excited about Vanessa returning next week?
Oh, she is?
Yes. She should be back next week.
That's taking a long time off.
Yeah, that was a long time. But, yeah. I have to get used to her again. No, just kidding.
We will, too. Good times.
Okay, never mind.
Okay.
It's getting weird, but... Yeah, I was just going to ask you guys if what other like new shows you watch now.
What's the one I'm watching now?
I really like Damages. That's a show that's on a channel here in the States called FX.
Yeah, I'm only halfway through that.
Actually. Yeah, I really love that series.
Yeah, that's good. That's
Burn
good.
Notice?
How about the new shows this fall?
Oh,
I suggest you guys watch Aliens in America, the pilot.
Yes, I love Aliens in America.
I heard it's hilarious.
What's the one I was asked telling you about? The cop, the Life.
Life is really good too. Life with Damian Lewis. It's a NBC show where he's a cop that went to jail for 10 years, and he was acquitted of the crime and released, and now he's a detective in Los Angeles.
But he got lots of money from it.
He got like huge $1 million, like $50 million settlement, and he doesn't know how to spend the money. And he kind of is obsessed with inner peace, but he's obsessed with getting revenge on the people who put him in jail. It's just a really good show.
I like Dirty Sexy Money. That's a good show.
Yeah, I watch that.
Reaper. I enjoy Reaper.
Yes, I watch that.
I don't like Reaper. I think it's kind of weak.
It's fun.
I think it's getting better. Chuck. I enjoy Chuck.
Really like Chuck. It's getting better every week.
Mm.
And
someone wrote in the chat that Chuck has better action scenes than Heroes. I forgot.
It does.
Heroes.
It does. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Heroes doesn't have action
Chuck
scenes.
Chuck doesn't have nearly the budget that Heroes does, but it has. You know,
but they learned how to do stuff right.
Yeah.
Hey, Toby on Nocturnal Emissions. If we go over a little bit, is that okay? No, seriously, we're running out of time. But
okay, I'll hang up now.
Thank you for calling,
finish
Marie.
The show.
Call in anytime,
and we'll talk about good fall TV shows.
Yeah, sure.
Just like Women's Murder Club or whatever the hell that's called. Sorry, I'll let you go, Marie. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right, Bill, we're pretty much out of time. We have about 2 minutes.
Well, let me just I'll wrap it up in a minute. Again, Outing Riley is hitting. That's the Nathan Fillion, Pete Jones film.
Pete Jones from, what do you call it? Project Greenlight.
Project Greenlight.
He directed the first one. It sucked ass, and now he's directed a second movie, and he completed it about 6 years ago, and now it's seeing DVD release.
1984's Rats, Nights of Terror.
All right. Seriously, Bill, let's just wrap it up. We're out of time.
Savage Scrubs, you know, Spider-Man 3 is the big one this week.
Ah, yes, on Blu-ray. Pick it up!
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Bill, thanks for the DVD. Sorry we had to cut it short. But if all of you would like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com or call 1-206-202-3491. What is the deal? We haven't been getting voicemail recently.
No voicemail.
Send us some voicemail.
Voicemail drought.
Yeah, voicemail drought. But episode 100 next week, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank Heather for calling in. Thank Marie for calling in.
Yeah, that was great, Marie. My wife, my lovely wife, Heather, thank you. Great birthday present. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We love you. Much love. See you next week. episode 100 of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Something special.
Right, Bill?
Tee-hee.
Yes,
tee-hee.
Could you tee-hee for me, Bill?
Feels very good like that.
And boom goes the
dynamite!
Podcasting.